This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Tim, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing?
What's up, gentlemen? Yeah, I might do that, man. I might just tweet out, hey, what do you got? Just start answering questions. I like that. That's a good concept. I think that's great that LeBron did that. And just a real quick, my take on that dunk contest lineup he put together. You got to have Michael Jordan in it. You got to have Vince Carter in it, 100%. And LeBron, I don't think, could put himself in it because he never even entered it.
I know. How
can you put yourself in it when you refused your entire career to ever participate in that?
That makes it so obnoxious. Like, that's ridiculous. It'd be one thing if he'd won one before, but everyone wants him to do it. He's never done it. Now it's like he's rubbing it in our face.
Also, Tim, he's a forceful dunker.
He's the greatest. Yeah, it's like a dude saying he's the greatest shooter in the world and never took a three-pointer in a game. Like, I mean, what are you talking about? Like, you can't put yourself into the Mount Rushmore of dunk contest participants when you never entered it. I mean, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And by the way, my money 100% would be on Vince Carter in his prime.
Yeah.
Over Jordan in his prime.
Yeah. Vince Carter, that was the most spectacular dunk contest performance of all time. I mean, I think it blew everything out of the water when he won it in Oakland.
Interesting. All right. So is Chris Paul as bad a defender as Patrick Beverley says he is?
No, he's not. I mean, I think, you know, look, he's clearly not the defender that he once was. I mean, but how could he be at this stage of his career? He's not the impactful player that he once was. But at one time, Chris Paul was an elite defender. I think some people probably didn't give him as much credit as a defender as maybe he deserves because there is a lot of theatrics that come with Chris Paul. There's a lot of call selling that's going on, actually both ways, when he's got the ball and when he's guarding the ball. And I think maybe some people get annoyed with that, and so you're just reluctant to give him the credit that he deserves. When he wanted to dig into guys in the prime of his career, Chris Paul was an excellent defender. There's absolutely no question about that. So, yeah, that was a lot the other day with Pat Bev, and he had a lot to say, and I think he was taking advantage of the opportunity and the format that was given, and he likes to talk. And he got rolling, and there's certain guys probably he wanted to go in on that he has beefs with, and I think he clearly does not have a lot of respect for him, and that's what that led to.
Now, there's this fallacy in life that as long as it's honest, it's okay to say. So even if everything he says is how he feels and is regurgitating things that are said to him in locker rooms about Paul as a player, as a former player, Tim, do you look at that and say that he was still wrong to go there, and there are a lot of players think that Beverley was the bad guy for doing this, even if he's telling the truth?
Yeah, look, I don't have a problem so much with guys saying what they truly believe. I just think sometimes you have to take a little bit, you know, when you're watching it, you've got to also be able to interpret the context of this, and there's clearly something more to it, you know. Certain guys make comments, but other players, I don't necessarily think it's 100% genuine what they truly believe about that guy as a player. There's something about him that you don't like personally, and I think it's going to shade your ability to then give honest commentary on what that guy is as a player. And that's kind of how I viewed that the other day. I didn't really put a lot of stock into what he had to say. I think he really, you know, enjoyed the moment of having that format, and he figured, I'm, you know, going for it. I'm going to be me, and being me means I'm going to be talking a lot, talking loudly, talking very brashly. It's who I am. It's made me the player that I am. It's actually given me a career because that's part of my personality. My DNA has led to me having a career. It's what people identify me as being, and I'm going to take advantage of this microphone right now, and I'm going to go in. But I just looked at it like there's clearly something more to it in terms of, you know, personally how he feels. Look, the guy went up to him walking off the floor at the end of a series and committed one of the dirtiest things I've ever seen, you know, 2 years ago when he shoved him in the back at the end of a game, at the end of a series as he's leaving the court. I mean, just so there's something way more there than just, you know, Patrick Beverley evaluating Chris Paul honestly as a player.
But what is the deal with Chris Paul? Like, there's something. He's one of those guys who's so beloved by his crew, right? We know how LeBron and D-Wade and everyone feels about him. But, man, it seems like people just love that guy or absolutely hate him.
Yeah, I think, you know, and look, I don't know Chris Paul You know, I was out of the league by the time he got in the league. I've covered him for a long time. When we've interacted a couple times probably over the years. I don't really know him well. And to really know the dynamics of what he is as a teammate, as a person, as a guy to be around all the time. But he definitely elicits that kind of response. It's very polarizing when it comes to Chris Paul. I think there are some people probably that think he is, you know, has been so revered and so adored in so many ways, and yet has not ultimately been able to get over the hump and win. I think some people resent that, you know, other players resent the love and adoration that he has gotten, despite the fact that he has not been able to get it done. And in fact, I think there have been seasons when it was really laid at his feet because of either his performance or more likely because of his health, that he has not been there at the most important time of the year when his team needed it. And I think some people resent just like this pedestal approach to him when other guys, if they were in a similar situation, they would be absolutely slaughtered by the media. And I think that's what probably why some people resent that. And I do think some of it plays into what I said earlier. There's something about him when he plays with the constant selling of like calls. I think that drives people a little bit insane, and it makes them maybe critique him a little bit more as well, and just annoy you in general playing against him.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Talking with Tim Legler here on the Michael Kay Show. So before the playoffs began, your colleague, Jeff Van Gundy, came on our show and said the finals are going to be between the Celtics and the Mavs. Is he going to be right?
Well, I do think Boston is going to get to the finals. And, you know, I thought going into the Milwaukee-Boston series, whoever wins the series is going to the finals. I still feel that way. So I think they're going to take care of the Heat. In the other round and the other conference, I think when I look at Golden State, I picked them 2 months ago to win it all. I'm not backing off of that. I do think that people that are dismissing Dallas, and there are people out there that don't think that this is going to be the same matchup as Phoenix would have given Golden State, I think you're selling Luka Doncic short. I really do. And I use his name rather than the team because the entire thing is built around his greatness. And I'm watching a guy right now that I am absolutely mesmerized by, because I don't think I've ever seen a player operate with that level of comfort and pace, that unaffected by the moment, who the guy that's in front of him, the team that's in front of him, the stage, any of it. He's so unaffected by all of it while operating with this talent and this level of confidence. Man, does that empower the rest of his team. I've really never seen anything quite like it, and I don't think Golden State is going to limit him or diminish him. He's going to do his thing against them too. He's going to do it against Clay. He's going to do it against Wiggins. He's going to do it against Draymond. He's going to do it against whoever they put on him. He will do what he wants to do. But I do think they're a different animal to guard on the other end of the floor than what Dallas has dealt with so far. I think with Chris Paul playing the way that he was in that series, and that's a team that primarily is, you just have to worry about pick and roll and how are you going to defend the pick and roll with those two guards. Everything comes out of that. Everything Ayton gets comes out of that. Everything their shooters get come out of that or transition. With Golden State, there is so much off-ball movement, weak side action, pre-action movement, all of the things that they do that require so much different communication. I think Golden State wins the series on the other end of the floor. But I think Luka's going to do his thing. I just don't see any team really being, if you do try to load up on him, Dallas can make 18 to 23s. And I think that he had the best of both worlds to a certain extent in the Phoenix series. You know, Golden State will make it a little bit tougher on him. I just think now that they've seen it, they're going to be a little more prepared, I think, to come up with a game plan here going into this that's going to be more effective. There's no question he's going to have monster numbers. And I think he will keep them in this series. Would not be shocked whatsoever if this was a 7-game series, but I think Golden State gets to the finals against Boston.
What is it about the Heat that continues to just get them deep into the postseason?
I think there's clearly a mental toughness that they have. I think there's a level of expectation they have going in that no moment is going to be too big for them, that they're always going to be in the fight. And I think they've got obviously great coaching. Right? I think Spoelstra, for me, has been top three coach in the NBA for a long time. He never got enough credit with the Heat teams, LeBron and Wade, because of the talent they had. He put his stamp on what they did offensively in so many ways. That was a reflection of Eric Spoelstra's ability to navigate that and get those guys to max out offensively. He never got credit for that. I've always known how bright he is. I spent some summers with him in Miami working in some camps with D-Wade, and I got to know Eric a little bit. I was just like, man, this guy is so sharp. So they're so well coached. They have a toughness and a belief. And I think they've got, look, Jimmy Butler, for all his warts, and he's got some, and people, you know, he team seems to leave and burn some bridges on the way out, that you cannot question the guy's toughness and his ability to have his team ready to go at that moment. And I think that's what he brings to them. They like the toughness that he brings, the leadership that he brings out of the locker room. I will say this. They need to play at a certain pace in this series. If they play fast against Boston and they allow Boston to get out and run, Boston's going to smoke them, because Boston thrives on transition threes. So Miami, a friend, will be a 92-88 game. You know, first team to 100 type games, that will favor Miami. And I think you're going to see them dictate pace very well in this series to try to make it tougher on Boston. But I just have so much respect for what the Heat do. They're just, every year, they're so professional about what they're doing.
By the way, of course, you can hear the Heat and Celtics right here on 98.7 tonight, 8:30. Legs, I got to ask you, man. You were a veteran in this league. You know what it takes to reinvent. How is Al Horford, like, literally, it's not even just a time machine, because he's better than he was when he was young. He's literally become an incredible shooter. How do you explain Al Horford?
It is absolutely unbelievable. Based on what I saw when he was in Philadelphia, and I look like this is a guy that's probably about on the verge of retiring. And as it turns out, you know, they were making a big deal about the position and playing with Embiid, and I'm going, well, wait a second. I mean, he likes to play on the perimeter a lot anyway. I mean, he can play high-low with him. He can get a chance to shoot threes. But apparently it really did affect him. He likes being lined up at the five spot. He just mentally, it does something for him. He is a testament, number one, to this guy is just a maniacal about his conditioning and the way that he treats his body. So that's how you can continue to stay healthy this long into your career. But to explain this confidence that he has now in his shooting ability and what a threat he has become, there's only one way that happens, and that is through incredible amount of repetition. He understood, I need to add this to my game to extend my career, because otherwise I'm going to become an offensive liability, because he's never been like a big-time post-up player. He was more of a slasher, offensive rebounder, mid-range shooter. Well, that starts to leave you those things as you get older. And if you don't figure out another way to hurt teams, you're not going to be on the floor. And you only do it through repetition. And then finding a place that absolutely utilizes you for that. But you're 100% right. And it's not just the shooting. His rebounding has been as big a factor in the Boston Celtics getting to the conference finals as anything, because they play small lineups. And he is a guy that's going out there, and he's had games where he's getting 15 rebounds in games against bigger teams. Now, you cannot really overstate how important that is to give you second possessions and to clean up defensive possessions, giving a team one shot. He is the hard hat guy in the paint for them. And Grant Williams has been sensational too. But, you know, both of those guys, give him credit. But to answer your question, I just think he understood, I've got to figure out another way to become a relevant offensive player in the modern NBA to be able to stay on the floor. Because otherwise, they're going to get me off the floor because I'm not contributing on that end. And he did it. And he has been absolutely blowing my mind. And I'm happy, because I've always really admired Al Horford. He's been one of my, you know, favorite unsung-type players in the league his entire career.
All right, two quick things before I let you go. If you were running the Nets and Kyrie opts out of the final year, would you sign him to a long-term deal?
Oh, man. I would be very reluctant to do that. And I know I'm in the minority. And I, you know, every time these kind of questions come up about these guys, and it'd be a similar one about Harden, and I get asked that question, if you're Daryl Morey, what do you do? And it's so easy for me to say, oh, I'm not going to do it. I wouldn't do it. I couldn't sleep at night giving guys that kind of money that have been that unreliable. So it's easy for me to say, but I also know that that's not the way the NBA works. Typically, those guys get those offers. They get those dollars. because getting the talent into the building is the hardest part. Once you have that guy in-house, because it's very difficult to figure out ways to get that to happen, once you have him, it's even harder to let that guy somehow end up somewhere else in his prime. So I think ultimately they're going to give it to him, what it wants and what it takes. I personally would have a hard time. I think I'm beyond giving Kyrie Irving the benefit of the doubt based on his talent anymore. I'm past that point with him. I'm past that point with Harden, too. I'm just past that point. I now expect something to happen to derail whatever, you know, team he's on, derail their season. And not necessarily all his fault, but it's just something is going to go wrong, and they will have a hand in that because of their lack of availability or their lack of stepping up at the right time when your team has to have you. And it's just something. There's so much stuff there in baggage. I'd have a very difficult time doing it. And having said that, they will. They're going to pay him, and Philadelphia probably will pay Harden.
All right, and we're just curious. Have you watched any of Winning Time on HBO?
So funny you say this. My wife and I are big. We love watching all these series. And I've got a boy that will be turning 6 months here in about a week. So this series came out. And the plan is, hey, you know, we get him to bed, and then we're going to sit down, we're going to watch the Winning Time. We want to watch it together, and about 15 minutes later, I look over, my wife's asleep. So I'm having a hard time getting through these episodes because her days are so long with the baby right now. I haven't got to it. I've watched one episode. I absolutely loved it. At some point here, I'm going to, you know, crush through it probably in a weekend and watch the rest of it. But I can't wait. Are you guys fans of it?
We love it, but we just wanted to tell you because we want you to not respect Don. He refuses to watch it. He says he's good. Yeah. Me and Peter love it.
No, Tim, all I say, I just haven't had time, just like you. I've got 4-year-old twins, so my life's kind of tight with work and everything, and I feel like the ship sailed. These guys are finishing it up, and I haven't started it yet, so I kind of lost interest being so far behind. I'm not making any kind of point against basketball, the Lakers. I just feel like the ship sailed on me. That's all.
I hear you, but no, I think it's too good, and the reviews I've read and just feedback I've gotten from friends that have watched now, man. But I will tell you, there's other series that that's exactly the mentality I was taking about certain things. Like, I was so late to the game on Yellowstone, and it ended up being one of my top two or three.
Wow, really? I haven't done Yellowstone yet. Yeah. It's that good?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I mean, Breaking Bad is number one for me, and it's going to be very difficult to surpass Breaking Bad. But Yellowstone, I mean, might be number two for me. And I was so late to it, and I was like, even the first couple episodes, I wasn't completely sure. It was, it made such an impression on me, guys. Halfway through the first season, I started, like, going on Zillow looking at properties in Montana. Like, maybe this is where he lives. And, like, spend the rest of it, because the scenery is, and it's incredible, and it was all filmed in Montana. And it gives you kind of insight to what that looks like out there and how easy, you know, off the grid, and it, which is exciting. It's not realistic, obviously, but you think about that sometimes. You daydream about that kind of life. It is amazing. And the fact that it's still ongoing, like the new season's coming out, I guess, pretty soon, I'm guessing. But I blew through 4 seasons of Yellowstone in probably 10 days.
Wow.
Have you
hit Succession?
Say that again?
Have you hit Succession?
No, I have not.
Oh, you'll love it.
Succession's fantastic.
Succession is amazing.
And Legs, I love the idea of you going to Montana, man. You'd be like ESPN's Kanye West going to Wyoming, you know?
I would love it, man. I'm telling you. There are days you get into a rat race and you think, man, that actually might – that sounds like a good way to live. I'm on there looking at 25-acre properties. I'm like, that's all it is? That's all it costs? Are you kidding me? Horse stables? I don't even have a horse. Who cares?
Legs, I know you're up against it. Thanks for coming on, as always.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Talk to you soon.
You got it. 1-800-919-3776. I got a very interesting piece of information, broadcasting-wise, that will impact, I think, one of the three of us on the show.
Huh? Oh.
It's a humongous bit of information.
Really?
Yeah. Stick around and find out what I'm talking about. That's next, right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.